When I think back on summertime of the past, I think about exploring, going and checking out random things with friends, and just having a great time. On a recent EPP bonus episode, we heard about a tragedy that tears a friendship apart and leaves nothing but questions in a very paranormal situation. We classified it as one of the best stories we've ever had on the show.
It's really creepy.
If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person on our website at Real Ghost Stories Online. The episode is called Even in Death. Your $5 a month donation to be an EPP gets you access to more than 50 full episodes of our show, exclusive to EPPs, exclusive bonus video content, archived shows, and more. You can't go wrong. You're keeping our show on the air, and you get all these extras. Please consider supporting the show and becoming an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a young man finds his home is a hub of activity, especially after he learns what used to be on the land where his home now sits. A porcelain doll seems to only be visible to one member of a listener's family. A toddler survives a deadly fall thanks to a ghost, and we have another haunted clown story.
Yes, we do.
It's been a while since we've had a haunted clown story.
And I know they're your favorite, so I saved it for last.
I love haunted clowns.
I know.
So this should be a nice little treat. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. I really find having the silly putty in hand enhances my enjoyment of the stories.
It does. It does. It's for people with attention issues. It helps to keep us from fidgeting too much.
We sit here, by the way, just fidgeting with silly putty the entire show. She has a little egg over there. I have a little egg over here. And it's great. It's great fun.
Yes.
Anyhow, this is why we don't have cameras on us the whole time, because we just sit here and we fidget as we read the story.
People
ask, like, why don't you just like tape the show with a camera? Well, number one, it'd be a lot of work because video is so large to encode a full hour show on a daily basis. Like, it takes an hour to record it. That's one thing. But then to get it encoded and up and posted, well, that's another 3 to 4 hour process right there. But there may be something down the road here as we get closer to Halloween of maybe doing a live something of the sorts where you can tune into a stream, and it'll be a special deal.
That'd be fun.
It'd be something interesting. I'm just kind of working up the ideas and what the options are for such a thing.
Yeah.
So that may be coming up down the road. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's kick off today's show with a letter from Jimmy. And Jimmy writes in, well, it's hard to sum up all that I've been through. I have clairvoyance in my family, my mother and me, and someone on my grandfather's side, rooting back to a questionable relative and a family from Louisiana. Probably something that has voodoo in its history. One story I'd like to share with you is about a trailer house that sat in the corner of an old silver mining town in Arkansas, outside of the new town called Hackett. Well, the trailer house my parents decided to rent sat on the spot where an old store once sat. It started on the day we moved in. I had a friend helping me unpack. My room was at the end of the hallway, on the hallway that led to the living room. I sat down on a rock I found in a river in North Arkansas to rearrange myself. I sat down on an air vent where I could reach it. My friend was in the other side of the room. I was ready for the rock, so I reached down without looking to retrieve it, and it wasn't there. So I looked down, and it was on the other side of the vent. I grabbed it and looked at my friend. He was still on the other side of the room, and I shrugged it off. I sat it down in the vent again and went off to do something else. When I came back for it, it was moved. I asked my friend if he touched it, and he said no. That was all that happened that time. Well, that night I was lying in my bed. I had two windows in my room, and outside each of them I could hear whispers like people having a conversation. I eventually fell asleep, and during the next 6 months, things would go missing. We could not find them until a week later. One day, I think it was Saturday, my mother bought a new microwave and was trying to put it on a shelf she had for it. I was in my room playing GameCube. I remember hearing my mother call my name, so I walked in the kitchen and she looked angry. "Yes, ma'am," I said. "Were you just in here?" she said. "No, ma'am, I was playing games." She then told me what happened. She was trying to put the microwave on the shelf and she felt like someone was poking at her side. She thought it was me messing with her and she kept saying, "Hold on, let me get this up here." Then, when she just finished putting it on the shelf, she felt someone poke both of her sides really hard at the same time and make a hissing sound. That's when she turned around and saw nothing. That's when she calls me in there. A month or two later, my mom had this doll in the living room sitting in a small rocking chair. Its head would turn every time we left the room. It was scarier when it was looking down the hallway at my room when it was just looking at the front door. A few weeks later, my mom came to my school and said she was not going to be home when I got off the bus, so she gave me the key to the house. That evening, I got off the bus, had a good day, and was excited to get to be home alone, so I skipped to the front door, walked up the stairs, and looked in the window of the door and said, "Hello," jokingly. And when I went to open the door, I heard a voice from the other side of the door say, "Hello," in a deep man's voice. I jumped back off the stairs, freaked out, and went around the house looking for open windows and checked the back door where nothing was opened or unlocked. So I mustered the courage to go in. No one was there. Later that night, I was in the living room sitting in a recliner that faced the TV. I had my back to the kitchen, and all of a sudden, it sounded like every plate, pan, pot, fork, spoon in the kitchen was thrown to the floor. I froze and slowly sat on my knees and turned around. I saw nothing. So I got up and walked in the kitchen. And nothing was out of place. Not one thing. I have many more stories I'd love to tell. I'd love to show.
I think this is just a classic haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, obviously not the house, but probably something to do with the land, with having a store there. Who knows? Maybe, you know, depending on how old it was, maybe there was a real storied history with that particular store.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just real interesting how I think it's not really doing anything too malicious. It's just letting everybody know that it's there.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint. Is this a person? Is this something else? There's really nothing to point it to be something malicious.
Mm-mm.
It's just, what is it? Who is it? That's the question I have more than anything about it.
Well, and I'm not surprised with it being where an old mining town used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mining towns kind of have a rough history, you know, because
sure.
It was dangerous work and they were predominantly male, you know.
It could just be, I mean, it could really be almost anything in this case.
It
could be a residual energy. It could be, I mean, it's very hard to narrow down exactly what it is that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But very interesting story, nonetheless. It's kind of that's like if you could say, I want to have a haunted house, or I want to live in a haunted house, and it not do anything else that's going to like ruin your life or scar you mentally, that'd be like the perfect haunting.
Yeah.
That really is kind of just the perfect non-invasive haunting right there.
And just enough to let you know, hey, there's something here.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Very interesting story. Thank you for writing in and sharing your experiences with us. Our next letter, it says, hi, I'm writing to you from Norway. Oh, that's why I can't pronounce the name. I was like, what nationality is this one? And I should know.
You should know.
But I'm not used to pronouncing Norwegian names or seeing them. Sue Hilgotter, I guess. I don't know. I'm probably saying it incorrectly.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry, my Norwegian cousin.
Yes.
I do. I actually have like, I don't know what it is, but it's like probably third or fourth removed cousins. I have family members who actually went and visited them there once when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up there towards the North Pole area, or as far north as you can really get. They're like way, way up there.
Yeah.
Very, very cold. I even ancestried it once to see where they were. Just little villages. Eat lots of fish.
That's neat.
All right. So here we go. Sue Helgotter. Hi, I'm writing to you from Norway, from one of the fjords in the middle of Norway, that is. My English is not good, so bear with me. I searched for paranormal stuff on the internet and found you. I listen to you whenever I can. Here's my story. Some time ago, we moved from Trondheim, where we live now. We moved into an old house that was built in the 1890s. The house was built by my husband's great-grandfather. We brought our kids, horses, and dogs to live at this small farm by the mountains and the fjords. At first, everything was calm and quiet. One night, in the middle of summer, I suddenly woke up, hearing some children screaming from fright. I also heard a deep male voice yelling. This startled me, and I jumped from my bed to the window to see if anything was going on outside. The summer nights are as light as daytime here, up in the north, but I could not see anything. Meanwhile, I heard the screaming and yelling all the time. It sounded like children were really frightened, and I felt like helping them. From the voices, I think the children were about the age of 4 to 10, and there were two of them by the sound of it. This was going on for at least 5 minutes, and after a while, I realized that the sound came from my bedroom, not outside. It was difficult to hear exactly where the sound came from. It came from all over the place. I woke up my husband and asked if he was hearing something, but he didn't hear a thing. I heard the sounds while talking to him, too. Then it stopped. I had some trouble sleeping after that. A couple of months after, we had some guests visiting us. And when one of them came in, he stared at the ceiling in our living room. Our bedroom is right above, and he said, "The room upstairs is not very calm and quiet, is it?" This man had never been in our house before, and it turned out that he was a medium. He went upstairs and said he could hear some screams, some small children being dragged out of bed by a vicious man. I did not tell him about my experience before, after he went upstairs. He then told me that sometimes certain happenings will linger in the walls, so to speak, and sometimes being played on some kind of repeat. He then said that maybe these kids needed someone to see and hear them, and in that way acknowledge what they went through. It did not seem to be a very nice experience for them. Later, when I was alone in my bedroom, I told them that I've heard them. I never heard the sounds again. We've been living here for 15 years now. We often hear and see things here, but it's not scary in any way. It's part of our house, and we share it with someone from the other side. We think they watch over us in the house. Thank you for your time, yours truly. Or as we say in Norway, Hilsen. There you go.
There you go. I think that for this, it sounds like it's a residual haunting.
Okay.
But I don't understand why, if you say that you acknowledge that or you hear them, that then a residual haunting would go away.
If it's residual, no. I mean, I would think the residual doesn't have much of a consciousness.
Yes.
That almost makes me think that there's something. Yeah, I think there might be two types of residual hauntings. And maybe one's not a true residual haunting. Maybe there's some other word for it. But my thought is there's a residual haunting where it is the event being played over and over again in perfection. Okay? The event will never change. It is what it is. It's just an imprint. That's the non-conscious one. And my other thought is that there's the possibility of the residual haunting where the characters going through this are conscious, they're there, and it's kind of like Groundhog's Day.
Okay.
They're doing the same thing over and over. They may be trying different ways about it and meeting, you know, still the same repetition over and over and over, and they cannot escape. It's like a bad dream, but you're dead.
Yeah.
And you have to keep doing it.
That's interesting.
I don't know. It seems to explain some of these that do seem to be the same things over and over and over, but have different actions or different occurrences within them.
Okay.
But a lot of it does stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the ones where it's just, you know, the same repeated energy over and over.
It's interesting because we were talking over the weekend about what causes a residual haunting. And I was thinking about, instant death, you know, where somebody just bam, like an explosion or something just, you know, right then and there. I would think that that would cause a residual haunting, but then we have some that are so emotionally tied that they just repeat the same sad process over and over. And I think that's this kind of case.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you for writing in from Norway. That's awesome. 855-853-4802. That's the number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. David writes in, "Hey, Tony, I work for a printing company, and I've listened to a total of about 40 podcasts within the past 2 weeks. I'd love to become an EPP, but I have to save whatever I can for college. So a little background information. I'm a high school senior, 17 years old. I live a completely normal life and haven't had what I call a paranormal experience, or at least nothing worth mentioning. I'm not sensitive to these sorts of things. However, when it comes to the rest of my extended and immediate family, I am. But anyways, the experience, my grandmother and I have a good relationship. My mother was sick for an entire month, and I had an event coming up that required good health. I could not get sick. I spent a single night at my grandmother's house. First night I had spent in years. When I arrived, my grandmother furnished her guest bedroom. She keeps the rest of the house lit like a Christmas tree at night. When I had some free time to myself and she was preoccupied with dinner, I took a look in the closet of the bedroom I'd be sleeping in. I remembered a porcelain doll in the closet every time I slept there without my brother. He's 3 years older than me. Surprisingly, the doll was no longer inside the room. I'd grown accustomed to seeing and sleeping in that same room for at least a decade, and I found it odd that the doll was no longer in the closet. I figured my grandmother had some sentimental value to it, otherwise she would thrown it out. She isn't the type to keep old items. The evening progressed like a normal evening. I went to bed and locked my door, and as I did not want to be disturbed, remember that this type of door can only be opened up from the inside, I went to bed just fine and did not dream at all. When I woke up, it was about 5 a.m., so I attempted to go back to sleep. I woke up later while it was still dark with sleep paralysis. I have a history of sleep paralysis and have experienced being there before, but it was my cat. I could open my eyes but not move my body in the slightest possible way. What I saw made me freeze in terror. I normally don't sleep or wake up on my back, but today was different. A dark hooded figure stood over me. The room became shrouded in darkness and the face began to brighten. I saw a decaying face with no eyes and no mouth. I could tell the door was closed, but the closet was wide open. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. The figure put its hand over my face, covering my eyes. I woke up several hours later. I normally wake up at 6 a.m., so when I woke up at 9 a.m., I knew something was wrong. I never slept in that late, even though I am a teenager. I turned towards the closet. Its doors were open. The doll sat there, inanimate, looking at me with its unmoving eyes. I felt a chill crawl down my spine. I wanted to destroy that doll so much. I don't know what will happen if I sleep at that house ever again. I don't have the courage to ask my grandmother where she got that doll from. Who knows, maybe she doesn't even know she has a doll. I asked my brother the next day about the doll, and he says he can only sleep with the closet open when he sleeps at my grandmother's house. He says it's a habit from when he was younger. What scares me is that he stated he has never seen the doll in her house. I've always seen it there, every time I spent the night. Looking back at the incident, I believe it was two separate beings. I've since been in that room before, and I feel a darkness in the room, specifically in the closet. I'm going to do some research on the house and see if there were any previous owners. It is a rather old house, but for now, continue rocking on. You two are awesome, and to anyone watching or listening, become an EPP and support the series.
Okay, I don't think there's really a doll, and I'm not saying that he's seeing things. I just think there's something that's manifesting as a doll.
Okay.
Just for him.
It's just his own personal ghost doll.
Yeah, he's seeing it, and I believe that, but I don't think it's truly a doll there. I think there's something going on because nobody else sees it.
Is he afraid to ask the grandma here about...
Yeah, because nobody else sees it.
That would be rather bizarre.
It would be difficult to do that.
Hey, Grandma, what's up with the doll in the closet? and just see what she says. I wonder if she is aware of this. I mean, you may be surprised. And this is one of those things where you will eventually look back someday and go, I really wish I'd asked my grandma about the haunted doll if she knew anything about it.
Yeah.
When she's not there anymore. So I guess my advice would be suck up the embarrassment or potential embarrassment and just go ask. See what you find out. You may be surprised. And I'm not surprised in the fact that grandma goes, oh, yeah, well, that doll, you know, it just, it's there. It's in the closet. It may be something where she's aware that it has something odd attached to it as well. That may be why it lives in the closet and is not on display somewhere.
If she sees it.
If she sees it.
That's scary.
Ask grandma and let us know what she says.
Yeah.
You'd need to do it. Because there will come a time where she won't be there to ask her that question. And it will be something that will haunt you, no pun intended, forever, wondering, what did she know about it? And it may be nothing, but at least you'll know the answer.
That's true.
So, just try and narrow that path down while you can. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hannah writes in, hey, guys, so this is the story of the dress-up lady. My whole life, I believed this woman to be a real flesh-and-blood person and solid childhood memory. It was only last year that I discovered that the middle-aged woman in Victorian-era clothing was never seen by any other member of my family. They all considered her to be my imaginary friend. I had imaginary friends, and she was not one of them. She wore a dark green dress that I thought were just play dress-up clothes for the doll tea party she would help me set up. My mom thought my imaginary tea party friend was adorable and forbid my older siblings to tease me about having an imaginary friend. I lived my whole life thinking that this woman and I remembered must have been a friendly neighbor or a babysitter. In disbelief that this woman had not been a real person and my siblings must have been mistaken, I asked my mother about her. My mother's answer was no, I never saw her, but she was real, definitely real. She continued to tell me an amazing story. The house I spent my early childhood in was, in fact, an old Victorian. It was often in a state of disrepair. After one renovation was completed, another would begin. At one point, they were rebuilding the stairs leading down to the basement. It was just the bare wood and skeleton of a staircase so far. Because there was no railing yet, we were told to stay away. My mom left me with my older sister so she could get some laundry done. My sister had a friend over, and I couldn't be bothered with keeping me entertained. So I decided to tootle off and keep my mother company in the basement, in the laundry room. My mother looked over from her work to see me on this unstable staircase. One side of the staircase was completely exposed, and of course I was dangling my torso off the top step over the edge. My mother yelled, begging me not to move. As she sprinted toward me, I almost lost my balance and slipped headfirst over the edge. What happened next was a miracle. I slowed down in midair, rotating to land gently on my feet. My mother, completely terrified and shocked, grabbed me in her arms, crying. Apparently I said, "Don't cry, Mama, dress-up lady caught me." I owe my life to the dead. I enjoy your podcast very much. Thank you for all the hard work you put into it. Hannah, the EVP from NYC. I think she means EPP.
I think so.
Okay.
I think some of our best stories don't have to be scary.
Sure.
It's a short one, but I really like it. I think that just is a really good example of not all ghosts are bad.
Yeah, I mean, that really is true, especially when the ones where we get, oh, they're all evil spirits. Well, they never did anything bad here, and she grew up. Where's the negativity?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. When you were playing with your imaginary friend as a kid, did it ever move anything? Do you ever remember it moving anything? I mean, that'd be a pretty specific memory to have.
I don't remember that. I don't remember seeing him move anything.
He's just kind of there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to say that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be, but I can't pinpoint anything he ever moved. So, no.
Was there any other people ever around him? Did he ever talk of family or
no
friends or he was or anything
by himself? Never talked of anybody else.
Just kind of there.
Yep.
Interesting. It's interesting because we get so many stories like this that are somewhat in the vein of what you experienced. Obviously, yours didn't save you from falling off a staircase.
No.
But just as real as far as seeing it goes. Interesting story. Next story comes to us from Robert. Dear Real Ghost Stories Online. I've been hanging around Harper too much, and I'm starting to revert back to the way I used to speak when I was 3.
Don't do it.
I've only started listening to some of your stories on YouTube recently, but when it comes to ghost stories and the paranormal, I have a lot of experience with it. Some good, some bad. One of my scarier encounters happened when I was a counselor in training at a summer camp in Grand Isle, Vermont. My friend Brock and I were planning on telling the camp story of three-fingered Louie. Well, my part was to pretend to be Louie and scratch the cabin screen every so often. So I was sitting outside behind the cabin where the campers couldn't see me, and I waited for my cue to scratch the window. Now, behind the cabin is a wooded area, so I'm waiting for my cue, and I just happened to be looking out into the wooded area, and something caught my eyes. It was a black, shadowy figure with glowing, blood-red eyes. Now, it was dark outside, and my eyes had adjusted very well to the dark, so I could see the shape and outline of him very well. On one hand, he had three fingers, his thumb, his middle, and his pinky. I damn near shitted my pants at the sight. I ran. Now, I booked it around to the side of the cabin, to the front door, went inside, did what I could to lock the door. Brock asked me to straighten up, breaking away from the story he was telling, and he said, "What's wrong?" I scrambled to catch my breath, and stuttering, I told him three-finger Louie is in the woods coming this way. He and I both went to the window, looked out, and saw the figure making his way towards the cabin. The campers thought we were joking. Went, looked out the cabin windows, and everyone turned white as if they all saw a ghost. Then they scrambled to get back in bed and hid. Needless to say, neither Brock nor I got any sleep that night.
Do you think something just knew what they were doing, what the plan was, and decided, hey, I'm going to freak them out and try and look like this character they're talking about?
I think it could very well be that. My other question is, what's the origin of the story?
Yeah.
Is it one of those that, you know, camp counselors, you know, from several generations back have been telling, and then it's now their turn to be sharing the story as they've learned it? You know, is there some origin to this story of seeing some weird three-fingered thing out in the woods, and then it just got passed down so many times, and I mean, scary ghost stories are a normal part of camp, that no one, at a certain point, you know, it was so far removed, they just thought it was a folklore ghost story?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it could be either of those.
I think it could be two.
Of those situations.
But that's kind of fun.
Very interesting. Makes me wish I got a chance to go to camp.
I want to go to one of the grown-up camps. I do.
That would be interesting.
That would be fun.
The thing is, we couldn't tell anyone what we do because every single night we'd have to be telling ghost stories to people. All night long.
Okay, what's worse? Telling people what we do and having to tell ghost stories?
Mm-hmm.
Or having somebody else have a lame attempt at telling a good ghost story and we just sit there and suffer through?
That's a good point. But the thing is, you're much better at recounting the stories that we have on the show than I am. If somebody said to me at 7 o'clock tonight, and they said, "Oh, what was on the show today?" I don't know. That would literally be my response.
Yeah.
I would need to have some sort of something to jog my memory. I mean, at least like a headline. Okay, then I could kind of tell the story. But you have more of like the photographic memory and you can recount great detail after hearing something once. I can't unless it like really, really, you know, moves me.
I try really hard to do that, but I have to say my cup is getting full pretty quick. I mean, after doing this over a year.
Sure.
Trying to remember the details and
Yeah, it's hard because there's so many stories, and you know, the paranormal, there's so many events and situations that people fall into that it's easy to kind of, when you're recalling something, get tripped up, and then you're actually half of the story is someone else's story, and it becomes this mismatch of stories. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Take, like, you go through, it would take a very time consuming as well, but go through just, you know, months of stories and then try and piece together and your very own unique ghost story using bits and pieces of all of the ghost stories.
Now we're going to get submissions like that.
No, we don't want that. That's not at all what we were looking for.
No.
But I'm just saying it'd be interesting. That would be like the campfire ghost story. Like, oh, you want a ghost story? Here you go. And it's like the greatest hits of everything we've had in one ghost story.
Yeah, we could do that.
And then by the time we're done and I look up, everyone has left the campfire because they're so freaked out.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Marie writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I love the show. I've been listening every day at work since I found you guys. I've always been interested in the paranormal. You guys do a great job at feeding the need for weird and unexplainable. Anyway, I'd like to share a couple small stories I have about my daughter's great-grandmother, her father's grandma. I was living with my daughter's grandparents during my pregnancy with her, and shortly after she was born, I became really close with my daughter's father's mom, V. During this time, V's mother had passed several years before, and I had heard stories about her and how close V was with her mom. One day, while trying to get my daughter to sleep, I was rocking back and forth with her while V was doing some cleaning in the same area. To help the baby fall asleep, I tried singing to her. I don't know why I sang the song I did, as I had only heard it a couple times and didn't know all the words, but I sang it anyway. V stops what she's doing, looks at me, and has tears in her eyes. She said that her mother used to sing that exact same song to her when she was little, and that she hadn't heard it in years. We both got the chills and were overcome with emotion. It may have been a coincidence, but I found it very strange. The next experience didn't happen to me, but V shared it with me. She and her husband have a cabin a ways away from where they normally live and had some friends up for a weekend. Their friends had two kids, around 4 and 2. V had gotten up early one morning to make breakfast, and she had smelled cigarette smoke in the house. She and her husband don't smoke, but didn't know about her friends, so she dismissed it. After her friends woke up, she asked them if either of them smoked, and they replied no. And their son, 4, said that a woman was throwing cigarettes into the fireplace that morning. I thought that was strange. He knew what cigarettes were, since his parents didn't smoke, but didn't think a whole lot more about it. Later that day, they were all hanging out in the cabin when the little boy pointed at a picture of V's mom and said, "Her, that's the lady who was throwing her cigarettes in the fire." V said that would be typical of her mother with all the activity of the kids that weekend. I still get goosebumps when I think about that. And my last story took place in my most recent apartment after moving out of V's house and state. My little sister has a friend who can see spirits. She can't communicate with them, but she says she can learn small bits of information the more they hang around her. She was 13 or 14 at the time, so I sometimes question the validity. My sister, her friend, and my daughter and I were all hanging out in my apartment. I was a little worried about my daughter seeing things in her room, so I asked the friend if she knew of any spirits in the apartment. She told me that there was a woman who lived in the closet of my daughter's room. While the closet residence, I asked her if she knew her name or what she looked like. The friend said she didn't know the name, but she described her looking like V's mother. I remember that I had a picture of her from her memorial service and brought it to the friend and asked her if that was the same woman. She said it was, then asked the friend what she was doing. But I sort of already knew. The friend said that she was smoking a cigarette, and that confirmed it for me. It's nice to know that my daughter's great-grandma is watching over her. Thanks for reading my story, guys. I just have to add that Tony mentioned something about cursed or haunted foodstuffs in one of the episodes, and last night I had a dream about a chocolate Ouija board. Not sure what that's all about, but thought it was kind of funny. Anyway, keep up the good work, and thanks for what you do.
This makes me wonder if spirits can choose to leave an area, because this one chose to follow the great-grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
If you kind of decide who you're going to watch over and kind of people jump.
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept.
It is.
And clearly possible if this is what that person is doing.
It makes you wonder if there's different rules for different ghosts. Yeah.
Do all of them have that ability?
Yeah.
Is really kind of more so, I think, what you're getting at. And it's what I wonder, too. I don't know. I just don't. There seems to be rules for some and not for others, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the tax code. That's kind of how being a ghost, I think, is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. So, very interesting, interesting stuff there. 855-853-4802. I'm wondering more so about the chocolate Ouija board.
Why? I wonder what made her dream that. Something had to have, you know, she had seen something during the day that made her dream that.
Or she heard me talking about ghostly foods, and that's what came to mind, because we're talking about Ouija boards a lot. I'm surprised it doesn't exist. I'm surprised at Halloween, with all the Halloween stuff that's out there, and all the Halloween candy, and, you know, the party supplies that come out. There's, like, all different martini sets for spooky colored martinis, and then there's candies and that are beyond just trick-or-treating bags. I'm surprised there's not, like, a chocolate Ouija board sitting out there.
I bet if you Google it right now, there is.
Chocolate Ouija board?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Let's see what we come up with. No, I'm not seeing any readily available chocolate Ouija boards. I see someone who made a Ouija cake.
Okay. Somebody's going to find that and send it to us. They always do.
We're going to get a chocolate Ouija board.
No, I mean they're going to send us a link to where they found it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That would be true. Or we'd just get one in the mail.
I don't want one.
Would you eat it?
No.
You wouldn't eat the chocolate Ouija board? Could that be a bad thing?
I don't know. I'm not going to do that.
Not going to take the chance of eating the chocolate Ouija. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Emmy writes in, I grew up in a small town in Oregon, a town known primarily for its many orchards and beautiful mountain views. My parents, my two sisters, and I, age 6, 8, and 10 at the time, moved into an old farmhouse. When we moved in, we intended on making it our permanent home, but we quickly discovered something evil was in the house. At first, it was nothing more than creepy feelings, the feeling that someone was watching you even when you were alone. After some time, things got worse. Items in the house would rearrange themselves, things seemed to disappear, and we were just kids, so my parents blamed it on us at the time. My father's a very strong, silent, serious man. One night around 3 a.m., my father woke up to hear a little girl giggling and running down the hallway. He told my mother that we, the girls, must have woken up to play. He had to work early in the next morning, and needless to say, he was not happy that we were awake and making noise. He got out of bed, walked across the room, and the second he reached the bedroom door, the giggling stopped. No footsteps, no laughter. The house was silent. He went into our room, assuming we had just ran in there because we had heard him get up. When he got in our room, he found us all sound asleep, tucked in just the way they left us that night. He returned back to bed and didn't speak about it. This happened again a few nights later, and after a few times of this happening, he explained it all to my mother. She tried to stay awake one night to see if she could hear it. She did. They both heard the tiny steps, the laughter of a child. At the time, they didn't tell us anything. We were only kids, and we didn't need to know that until one day it involved us. My sister, who was 8 at the time, was always the shy, quiet type. She loved her stuffed animals, and in particular, she had a clown that she took everywhere with her. The strange thing is, to this day, no one can recall when or where she got the clown. One night, when we were all in the living room watching TV, my sister wandered off into her room alone. After a while, my father got up and went to check on her to see why she left. As he approached her bedroom, he could hear her talking. He thought she was telling a story or playing with her dolls, and he wanted to hear what she was saying. So he cracked the door as quietly and carefully as possible and peeked in. That's when he saw it. My sister was sitting in front of her small vanity, mirror desk. Both her and the clown were sitting upright facing the mirror. My father watched them in the mirror reflection. He noticed she was speaking to her clown, and just when Dad was going to interrupt, he heard a man's voice answer back. It was the clown. It moved its mouth in reply to my sister. The second he heard that deep male voice, he shoved the door wide open and asked my sister what was going on. At that instant, the clown doll fell on its side, inanimate, and my sister denied the whole thing. My father took my sister out of the room and brought her to the living room with us. When my mother and I saw his face, we knew something was terribly wrong. He was white as a ghost, and for the only time in our entire lives, we saw true fear in his eyes. He ran back into the room and went through the whole house to make sure no one had broken in. But the windows were all locked. There was no one inside other than us. He took the clown doll and explained everything to my mother. And they agreed to burn it and decided to ask around the neighborhood to see if anyone knew anything about the previous owners or the history of the house. They quickly discovered that every previous owner didn't live in that house for too long. Fearing that we would get hurt or things would continue to escalate, my parents decided the only solution was to move away, and we did. To this day, we try not to talk about it. My sister doesn't remember anything, but she is beyond terrified of clowns. When I was about 16, my parents told me why we really moved. And now as an adult, I've gone back once or twice to that neighborhood. I can never get myself to go in the house. Maybe one day, I will.
That's a good one.
The clown that talks.
Mm-hmm.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something dark.
I had a clown in my crib, and I think the clown is actually in my desk drawer down there.
Yeah.
Over there in the other part of the office. It was one of those things that my parents continued to hide around my apartments and stuff as I got older. And then I would give it back, and then it would like show up again at a random place. They'd hide it. So I've just never given it back. It's just been here.
Yeah.
And it was, it didn't talk to me, but it sure creeped me out, at least as far as I remember, it didn't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they would have done if they would have heard it talking. Probably written it off. Yeah. Ah, it's not, that's the wind. This happens to sound like a 48-year-old predator. That's all. That creepy stuff. I mean, obviously, when you see that track record on a home like that, that otherwise is very inviting and would be attractive to people, you know, on the outside, you have to wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
Is that's something that can you track the history of that when you're looking at buying homes? I think you can. That's something you look at.
I think so.
Like this home was bought and sold the next day to next day. If you saw a track record of that, and the, I'm sure they don't mark it down as, oh, well, it's haunted or anything like that. It's like, well, the family had, there was personal issues or it's family things that needed to be taken care of. And they had, bullshit responses, essentially. Yeah. And probably what they cited as well, like that. Would you not buy a house if you saw a trend of that, even though you really like the house?
It depended on the type of neighborhood it was in. If it's a neighborhood where there are a lot of young families that move in and then they quickly outgrow their home and move
sure.
out.
And that happens.
Then that might be a different scenario than like a more established older neighborhood where it's supposedly, a grandmother that passed away and now her home's for sale.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an older neighborhood where you would assume there's a longer history and it's like bang, 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 every couple of years somebody's moving in and out of there, I'd probably think twice about it.
Mm-hmm.
But a neighborhood kind of like ours, I wouldn't think that much about it because, you know, families move all the time in this type of neighborhood.
Sure, that's true. Interesting, interesting story of the clown talking. That's creepy. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Manuel. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Manuel from Northern California, Winters, California, actually. my wife and I became EPPs today, so I'm looking forward to all the episodes. Anyway, I wanted to call you guys back again and share a couple of stories when I was very young, some of the first memories I ever had of paranormal experiences. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I had a grandmother that lived in Pinal, which was, I don't know, about 10 miles from where we lived in San Pablo. And I used to stay weekends with her. She was always really nice to me, and I would love to stay the weekends because she'd cook me whatever I wanted or whatever. She was a really sweet lady. Anyway, I remember staying with my grandmother when I was very young, and I remember She lived in a pretty good-sized house, and my two uncles lived there as well, and they worked in the evening, so it was always my grandmother and I alone. And when I was a little kid, we'd go to bed, and I remember my grandmother was devoutly religious, Catholic, and she would always say her prayers. And when we lay down at night in bed, I could hear, like, people talking and people walking around, and it used to terrify me, but I slept in bed with my grandmother, and she used to tell me, oh, God will protect us, don't worry. So I'd snuggle up to her, I'd fall asleep, and I'd forget about it. But I remember, you know, every time I'd stay over there, I'd always be scared when we went to bed because I could hear these noises and things. So about a year later, my parents separated, and my mother, my sister, and myself were staying at that house with my grandmother. And they had a little TV room type thing, and it had a couple of day beds and a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a little couch type thing. But anyway, so my mother was sleeping on a day bed, and my sister was sleeping on this little couch thing, and I was on the other side of the room. It was in a big room, but it had these three little bed couch type things. But anyway, and there was a TV in there. And we all fell asleep, and I remember in the middle of the night, my mother waking me up. She was real calm, but she looked scared. She woke me up. She woke my sister up. And I said, you know, what's the matter? And she says, come on, come on. And as I was getting up, I looked up, and it had those sliding closet doors. They're pretty typical that we have them in the place where we live now, but they're just two doors. They kind of hang on a track, and they slide. And the door was slowly opening by itself. And I'll never, it just, you know, if you're a little kid, you don't know what to think. It scared my mom. She didn't want to panic us, so she got us up, and we went into my uncle's room, and he happened to be home that evening. I don't know why, but she went in and woke him up and told him, hey, the closet door is slowly opening and then closing. And he looked at us and told us, it does that all the time. Don't worry about it. And, of course, you can say it does that all the time. Don't worry about it. But it scared us, so we all went into the living room, and we slept in there that night. And I remember just a lot of bizarre stuff happening in that house. But that's not the end of the story. I know it's running long. So a few years later, maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 years later, my grandmother passed away. And my mother and father, I believe, were back together at that time. And my mother and my sister were already at some other relative's house heading to the funeral. And me and my dad were at my grandmother's house. And my dad was ironing my clothes for the funeral, and he put the iron too hot, and he, like, burned through the pants that I was supposed to. I didn't have anything else with us to wear except for my little grubby play clothes. So my dad, you know, this was a long time ago. Nobody would ever do this now. But he told me, you know, you're just going to have to stay here, and everybody will be back here, you know, after the funerals. They'd always come back, and they have a bunch of food and stuff. He said, just stay here and watch TV, and... You know, I didn't even think twice about it, really. I wasn't really thinking about ghosts. I had had some experiences in that house, but it wasn't the first thing on my mind. So I went in that room, the room where the door was open. It was the middle of the day, so it didn't freak me out. If it would have been nighttime, I don't think I would have stayed. But anyway, I was laying there watching TV, and I fell asleep. And I remember something jerked me awake, and I heard all these voices and the cabinets opening and closing in the kitchen, and I thought, oh, good, everybody's back. So I got up, and I went across the hall to use the restroom, came out of the restroom, and then there was a little bit of a hallway, and then to the left was, you turned into a hallway to the left, and then to the right was the kitchen. And I remember being happy. I thought everybody was back, and I turned, and I walked into the kitchen, and the kitchen was ice cold. And I remember I got this overwhelming, terrifying fear that just ran. It's giving me goosebumps right now. I remember never being so scared in all my life. You could just feel a presence in that kitchen. It scared the hell out of me. I ran out of the house, and I was on the front porch. I didn't know what to do. I had, you know, this was before cell phones or anything, and the only phone, it was close to the door, the phone, and it was, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Napoleon Dynamite, where he had that phone with the long cord. Well, they actually had one like that. The cord would reach all the way outside. And it was hanging on the wall right next to the kitchen. And I waited on that front porch for probably about two and a half hours. And then I heard the phone ringing. And I knew it was somebody checking on me because it had been hours and nobody had called or come by. So I ran in the house and I grabbed the phone and I ran out the door. And I was just panicking, screaming. It was my mother on the phone. And I was just freaking out, telling them to come and get me. And I ran in and hung the phone up, and I waited outside. And then when they came, I was just freaking out. It was one of the scariest experiences. I mean, when I think about it, it's still terrifying. Just it was cold, and there was something. You just felt this presence. It was scary. Anyway, that was an experience I had when I was very young, and it stayed with me. I think about it all the time. I still have others. I have paranormal experiences pretty frequently. I don't know if I'm on the right channel or what, but something weird about me where I pick things up. But anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate the show. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Not weird, just sensitive.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It is.
And it kind of sucks, you know, it's like one of your first times, you know, you're home alone and you're not at your house, but you're being left alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be an enjoyable time. It's a time to explore the cupboards, find packets of Kool-Aid and mix them with soy sauce and think you're going to invent a brand new beverage.
Oh, that's gross. Did you do that?
Oh, all sorts of things like that.
That's gross.
I remember one time I was home alone and I thought, I'm going to make something interesting here. I wonder what would happen if I took like all the liquids in the fridge and whatever other weird things I could find in the cupboard. Not liquor or anything like that.
Okay.
I knew what the liquor was, and I knew I wasn't allowed to touch it, and I really had no desire to touch it as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it smelled gross, and whenever I have a taste of this, I thought it was disgusting. So I knew that much.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, everything else in the fridge is free game. There really wasn't liquor in there. So everything, you know, that was a liquid, I combined it like into a cup and like, oh, what does this will taste like? Like, you get the things you think you like on things.
But not together.
Well, in your mind at that age, you don't really have that second thought.
That's gross.
And every time it's like, oh, this is disgusting. This is horrible. But that was the most scarring experience I had when I was left alone. That and making the, I made hot dogs on my mom's Gen Air grill. We had, like in the kitchen, it was we had like a little burner thing.
The range?
It was a range, yeah. And there was like a part of the range you could do steaks on. It was really kind of nice, but they got rid of it. And the other part was just the burners,
mm-hmm.
and just electric burners there. And I thought, well, because my mom was doing summer school at the time, she was teaching at summer school, and I thought I'm going to make my mom lunch because she came home about 1 o'clock every day, and I'd be home from, you know, I don't know, 8 to 1. And I'm going to make her lunch. So I get hot dogs out. I think, well, this kind of looks like a grill. I know it gets hot. I'm going to take hot dogs. I'm going to put them right there on the burners. And I'm going to baste them in barbecue sauce right there on the burners. I'm lucky I didn't start a fire of some sort because that could very easily have flamed up when the barbecue sauce got in there. Unfortunately, it all just melted and burned, and it didn't burn on fire, but blackened and kind of fell off. But my mom's like, what did you do? It smells like you burned something. Oh, I made you lunch. Look at this. And she couldn't really be mad, but she was at the same time because she had to replace all the burners. But it was one delicious hot dog lunch.
A sweet thought, though.
It was, until I learned that you can't cook directly on the burners. So that's a little bit of experience that you can all learn from. Just in case you were thinking about trying that.
For those listeners who don't know, he's a very, very good cook now. So.
I am now. Yeah. But back then, that was the beginning. A little hot dog and on the burner and some soy sauce and Kool-Aid. What could possibly be better? Sharkleberry Finn at that.
That's gross. That is really gross.
If you like the show, please support it. Help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year. It's completely up to you. That's what keeps this thing fueled. So please consider doing that. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And we thank you in advance for doing that. And if you already are one, thank you so much. Get in there and listen to some of those episodes. Good stuff in there. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.